meeting back to order. If you turned on your phones during the recess, please turn them off again. All right. Well, we're gonna jump up because the people have to move on to other meetings. So we're gonna move to item 11. This is the approval of the Story County match contract with Division of Health Care Financing and Policy.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Leah Lamborn. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Division of Healthcare Financing and Policy. The contract in front of you today for your approval is a contract between the Division of Healthcare Financing and Policy, Medicaid for short, Division of Welfare Supported Services, and Story County for the purpose of Story County to reimburse Medicaid for the non-federal share of expenditures for institutional and home and community-based waiver services. This contract is based on NRS 428, where the counties are responsible to provide indigent care. And just a little history behind the county match program and how it came about is the institutional eligibility category is an optional Medicaid category. And back in, I believe, 1990, early 90s, or maybe even prior to that, the Medicaid program opted to cover this category, eligibility category, to relieve the counties of certain expenditures. So basically the federal government pays today 63% of the total computable expenditures, and the counties reimburse the non-federal share, the difference. This is considered a $0 contract for our purposes because it's a reimbursement of expenditures. However, I'm sure you're probably wondering about what the expenditures would be for Story County. So what was proposed in our budget through the budget build in the 2013 legislative session, we estimated the expenditures for Story County would come in about $53,000 per year. However, just after billing two quarters for state fiscal year 14, that invoice was about $14,000, so that's for two quarters. So you can multiply that by two and estimate about 30,000 years what it could be. Cannot hold me to that amount, though, because, again, if you have any residents that go into an institution into long-term care, one resident can increase those costs significantly. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
So the county's liability is 37%, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And prior to the, it's my understanding that prior to the 2011 legislature, we didn't have to pay anything?
No, that's not correct. Prior to the 2011 legislature, you were responsible for institutional cost for recipients that had an income limit of 156% to 300% of the federal benefit rate, which is the SSI rate. And then with SB 485, that was expanded, and the FBR rate was reduced to 142%, up to 300%. And then it added responsibility of the home and community-based waiver services at 142 to 300%. And then with the 2013 session, SB 3 was proposed and passed, which puts a cap, an 8-cent cap, on all of those expenditures combined.
Okay. So our estimate is running just about 50. Our actual costs are running about 50% of projections. Is that right?
So we're a little bit more than 50. About 60. We projected 53,000 per year, and there.
53.
If I take what was billed in these last two quarters, it's looking like about 28,000 for 30,000 rounding up for 14.
I like to round it down better. But.
Yeah.
I don't have any questions on it.
So this is the program that came to us in part because of Affordable Care and in part because of Governor Sandoval's decision and the legislature to go ahead and sign that agreement that we would?
No, actually this has nothing to do with the Health Care Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act is for newly eligible. This is a group that Medicaid, the division or the department opted in back in the 90s to cover this group. So we do not anticipate any growth or very minimal growth in those that participate in this eligibility group. as a result of health care reform. Health care reform is for the newly eligible childless adults that don't meet any other current Medicaid eligibility category.
Okay, and this was not part of the 2011 then legislative unfunded mandates. We were previously paying 100% of these costs?
Portion of it. So historically, when we opted in to cover this eligibility group, the option was to cover 156%, up to 300% of the FBR for those that are institutionalized in long-term care. SB 45 during the 2011 session expanded that responsibility to the counties to lower the FBR from 142, so 142 to 155 was not covered before, of institutional cost, and then it also included home and community-based waiver services, which are those recipients that meet a level of care to be institutionalized, but because they have wraparound services, they can stay at home and be cared for cheaper. So those were also included in SB 45, and that was from 142% up to 300% of the FBR income limit.
And then because of our demographics, we historically have not needed to rely on anywhere near an 8-cent indigent tax. You mentioned the 8-cent cap.
Right. That was introduced in the 2013 session to provide relief to some of the smaller counties. You guys are not near your cap. Your estimated cap, 8-cent cap, I believe was around 300-something thousand, okay. And you're well below that.
Okay. Staff would recommend approval.
Does indigent care cover any of this?
Susan, this is the one we do pay out of our indigent care fund, right? Out of our indigent care tax, yes. And Susan administers that on behalf of the county.
So what's your recommendation, Pat?
We'd recommend to approve this contract. Staff,
to approve it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was going to say I wanted to maybe study a little further. Let's see if we have any.
Any comments or questions from the audience?
Okay.
Excuse me for one second, Mr.
Chairman. Go ahead.
Pardon, do you know the approximate balance in the indigent account, cash balance? Should be at least about around 500,000 at least of a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, Susan's nodding her head. Yes, I mean this account over the recent years has gotten hammered. And again, the only thing I would want to point out to the commission is years ago, because we were getting tremendously excess balances, we cut the tax rate out of here. So this may be one that if costs escalate under these types of programs, we may have to come back and reassess that. Okay.
Do we get charged back on this quarterly or?
Yes, we moved back to a quarterly retrospective.
Okay.
Invoicing.
All right. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll motion to approve it then.
All right. And I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to, approve the Story County Match Contract with Division of Health Care and Financing Policy.
And I'm sorry, this is Leah Lamlin again for the record. I need to correct something. It's a monthly, retrospective monthly invoicing.
Okay.
Up quarterly, sorry.
Very good. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is item 8. We have an update today from Joanne Skelly, University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, on cooperative extension programs.
Welcome. Hello. It's nice to be here. Thank you. Appreciate the invitation.
Thanks for hanging out.
This is Joanne Skelly, for the record, University of Nevada Cooperative Extension Educator for Story County. And Cooperative Extension is a college of at University of Nevada, Reno. And our goal is to present unbiased research-based knowledge to the county. We serve communities through education and research and bring the university to communities. We are a county, state, and federal partnership. State funding is appropriated as a line item on the UNR budget. County funding is allocated in accordance with the Nevada Revised Statute 549-020, which provides for a minimum level of 1 mil up to a maximum of 5 mil ad valorem. Current funding is at $15,000. Next, please. Our existing Story County programs, because we are only at $15,000. We have 4-H, and that's pretty much what Story County is able to fund at this point in time. Sandy Wallen is our 4-H coordinator. She is funded at only 8 hours per week, and that's the total amount of money that Story gives us goes to pay for Sandy to be here and covers her salary and her benefits. We have three 4-H programs. I'll get into more detail. However, you are very well served with the Living with Fire program, and we also provide radon kits, and those are not charged to any funding from Story County. We do have over 500 times that people have volunteered in Story County in 2013 for 4,300 hours of volunteer time here. And at the 2012 volunteer rate of $22.14 an hour, that comes out to over a $96,000 value that you get in match for your $15,000. So, not yet sure. So the three clubs currently, we have our Cook Lovers Club, we have our Comstock Hot Shots, and we have our newest club is our Comstock Explorers. 4-H teaches youth life skills via clubs and other activities and the involvement of caring, committed adults. Youth learn self-confidence, teamwork, leadership, citizenship, and of course they make new friends. 4-H is America's largest out-of-school educational program for youth, and 18 youth up to the 35 youth that are listed here, the difference in the 18 to the 35 is that those two clubs started again in the fall, so we didn't have them most of the year. But they participated in various 4-H events over 2,000 times in 2013 in 122 separate programs. So, okay, next, please. So our Cook Lovers Club, they plan to meet about 21 times for their school session from fall to spring. They meet for about 2 hours per session. They have eight fifth graders. So learning how, and our sheriff has participated with the Cook Lovers Club, and they have learned how to make spaghetti from our sheriff. Our leaders are, of course, Eileen and John Harrington, and that was one of the reasons why Cook Lovers wasn't real active last year, is when Eileen was doing her thing to get elected and stuff, she didn't have enough time to make food. They also learn how to set the table, they learn how to fold napkins, they learn etiquette at the table. So our Comstock Explorers Club have five intrepid leaders, and they've marched in the Veterans Day Parade and the Parade of Lights, and you know how cold it was in the Parade of Lights, how cold it always is in the Parade of Lights. They're planning to build soapbox derby cars next to explore how to incorporate engineering and math into their club activities. And again, this is 12 youth with five leaders, and that's our newest club. This is them marching in the Veterans Day Parade. And I wanted to give you the 4-H pledge. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. And that's our 4-H motto, and that's what we try to get kids to learn up and grow up and be good citizens. So two of our longest time leaders are Richard and Tamara Knight, and Rich won the State 4-H Leader Award in 2013. They've been guiding Story County youth for over 17 years, most recently running the Comstock Hot Shots. They put in over 3,100 hours of volunteer time in 2014 alone. Rich maintains all the shooting sports, the guns, the bows, etc., as well as the shooting sports trailer. They do shoots every other week for 8 to 12 hours a weekend. The kids and parents all use Rich and Tamara's motorhome for a restroom since the Ice House Range has no facilities. So then he has to clean that up as well. So Story County youth are doing quite well in shooting sports. Again, 15 youth and 4 leaders. Next. And we were very proud that Caitlin Victor won gold in archery at the state shooting sports match down in Las Vegas. That's quite an accomplishment for Caitlin. She's done very, very well, and we're very proud of her. Story County youth come to our Capital City Farm Days in Carson City, where, and youth get to learn where their food and fiber come from, because some kids think milk comes from a store, and they don't have a clue that when you have a hamburger that you grew everything that went into that burger. So Farm Days is held in Carson City, and this is Dee Dee Monroe, who comes down every year, has been a leader for in years past, and she comes down with and manages the, does a lot of work with Rich and Tamara on the poultry part of the show, and we had attendees from Hugh Gallagher Elementary School that came down this past year. Story County youth could come to 4-H camp. Unfortunately, with only 8 hours and most of that being taken up with those three clubs that Sandy participates in, there's nobody here to promote events and to get the word out and to handle getting the kids there. So no Story County youth attended. And scholarships are available, so it's not just a financial burden on the family that they didn't attend. I think it's that they don't get to hear about it. So next, please. They could be camp counselors. Again, no Story County teens got to have this wonderful experience that everybody talks about. I think even Rich was a camp counselor in his day when he was young. Capital Days. Every 2 years, youth have the opportunity to attend the legislature and meet with the legislators and see how our government runs and see how what it takes to make government happen in Nevada. And no Story County youth participated. We have one program that is very, very, very well used in Story County. I think the chief could, if he were here, could acknowledge that he works very well with our specialist, Ed Smith. I think you've all talked to Ed and known Ed. We provide research-based practical information to Story County residents. We have the Choosing the Right Plants guidebook that I handed out, and that's a water-efficient as well as fire-resistant plantings, and you all got copies of that. It is available online. Our fire-adapted community handout with the next step in wildfire preparedness. It's a Story County driven publication, so it has all Story County contact information to allow folks to know what they need to do to be a fire-adapted community. Next, please. I also handed out our noxious weed field guide and our pinyon pine pest management guidelines, which pinyon pine has to be managed because it's a major fuel, particularly in the highlands, so that's something to deal with. At Living with Fire, held an event with our Ember House at Hugh Gallagher and Elementary School in 2013, along with, of course, Nevada Division of Forestry. And if you want more information on fire, it's really easy to remember, livingwithfire.info. livingwithfire.info. Natural resource education programs that might be available with more funding, perhaps we could do noxious weed education and get people to help control and spot noxious weeds. Pinyon pine pest management education, riparian and water management education, range management. We have specialists in all of those areas. Excuse me. Cooperative Extension did our radon program, and we're active in radon right now, and we've been giving out test kits for free through, I think, March 1st. Test your home for radon. We had 32 contacts and questions about radon from Story County, 9 fact sheets handed out, 23 kits given out for free, and 2 tests completed this year. And from 1989 to 2012, only 16 homes were tested, and 4 were greater than the minimum level that we recommend to go for a long-term test, so it's doing pretty good. And the highest was a 7.8, and so Story County is looking okay as far as radon. There's a 25% chance that your house has a radon issue in Story County. Okay. One of the things Sandy that used to do up here was she used to do after-school science in the elementary school, and unfortunately we can't have her be doing that anymore, so we're not contributing, and we have a terrific after-school science program that we're at 4 schools in Carson City, and we have a summer school program with the Parks and Rec Department, and we can't do that here, so that's kind of sad. So at additional programs that we have available that people can and do attend. The Child Abuse and Neglect Awareness Training is held every month at our Carson City office, but it's open to whoever wants to come down. That's a free program, and it's one of the few ways that child caregivers can get CEUs to keep their, to keep up to date and current in their information. Just-in-time parenting was a little handout that I gave you, and it's a, you can mail away for, you could just sign up for it, and then they mail you the information on stages of development for new parents on how the baby grows and what to expect in, from birth to toddler age, and so it gives very valuable information. We have the Nevada Youth Range Camp available, Discover Your Future, which is at UNR, and getting kids to go to college and know what to expect. Pesticide safety education, it just happened last week, and we work very closely to keep the CEUs up for folks in public works and different organizations. We have Grow Your Own Nevada that's coming up in the spring, and that'll be approximately 8 weeks in length, and people get to learn how to grow their own food and what they need to deal with in Nevada. Green industry training is another thing that happens every year. We had a Master Gardener program, but again, we haven't had the ability to pay anything towards our Master Gardener coordinator salary, and we do pest identification and management for people. So those are, we could possibly do youth gardens and community gardens. So we do have, if you have any questions, I just wanted to let you know that since the current funding is at $15,000, the actual ad valorem at 1 mil is approximately $49,000 for the year, which gives us, we've been operating at a deficit of about $34,000 for this fiscal year. In the previous year, it was a deficit of $39,000, 2012, $35,000, and 2011 fiscal year, $28,000. And when I go back through the records, I think there's been, I've been here since 2000, and we've maybe managed to be at ad valorem 4 years out of that 14 years that I've been here. So I hope when you're thinking about the budget, we've had some in kind. We get to use the senior center, and we get to use the ice house range. For a while, we had a room at the community center as our office, but then that was needed for the library, which is a wonderful thing. So we really don't have a lot of in kind to bring that deficit up to ad valorem. And Story County is the only county in the state that does not pay its 1 mil. So. When you're thinking about your budget, I hope you will consider funding us at the full mill.
How many children does Story County have participate in these programs?
We have 35 youth, plus the kids that are at farm days, plus the kids that participate in any of our other programs, and the adults that participate in Living with Fire, and we have the radon folks. So when I do contacts, it's roughly over 2,000 people that benefit from our programs here in Story County.
Yes. You're saying 50% of our population benefits from this?
Yes, because we do repeats and we have a lot of folks that participate, yes.
In a perfect world, Joanne, how much would you want to see on your annual budget?
1 mil.
From us?
1 mil.
From us?
Yes. That's what statute says is required. And 1 mil is what we have to. You know that we've been cut by a lot of money as well. And so it's very hard anymore to operate without a mill from each county. So that's what we would hope for is 1 mil. And then if we can't do 1 mil, we'd have to come up with something that, or have a conversation about whether we can come up with something that makes up that difference. And I don't think that, there'd have to be some way of tracking that.
Well,
I know, I know it's hard. I think Story County is the only county that also has it as part, has what it pays to cooperative extension as part of its general fund. Everyone else has a line item for 1 mil ad valorem, 1 mil up to 5 mil, because some counties pay 5 mil in their tax bill, so that it goes to a separate fund than the general funds, and that way it gets paid and you don't have to take it out of what you need to run the county. So
well, we'll just direct staff to look at this and during the budget and see what the best is we can do.
You two are in contact, I guess, frequently? And
yes, we're on the Story the CCI board together too. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Very great. Thank you.
Always nice to see you, Joanne.
Yep, you too.
Thank you.
Okay, move on to item number nine, update from Ron Riddell regarding WNDD projects, activities. Answer any questions from the commissioners. That's what we'd like to hear.
Well, for the record, I'm Ron Riddell, Executive Director of Western Nevada Development District. And since the new siren went off, I can say good afternoon, commissioners. Do you have a handout that was given previously? And we are now at the district, we are now up to nine counties. In 2011, Humboldt County joined the district, and in 2012, Washoe County became a member of the district. So one of the big things we're working on right now, getting wrapped up and completing, is a comprehensive economic development strategy for the district. And that's referenced on page three, where we had worked with USDA and a number of other partners in 2012 to do the Stronger Economies Together program. And we used that entire process to develop our comprehensive economic development strategy for the nine counties. As we are an economic development district, we have to do this every 5 years, a major rewrite, and then we have to also continue to update it on an annual basis. But there's a list of the nine goals that were that came out of that set process. And the best thing about that entire process was that we had over 200 people participating total through that that effort to develop a blueprint, and this is where we come up with our goals and strategies for our sets. Page four and five go into a little bit more detail about each of those goals and strategies. The other thing that came out of that, or that has come out of that set process, is we ended up with a number of work groups that are continuing to work on various activities, various projects. In our agribusiness work group, we were fortunate to receive a $5,000 grant from the Southern Rural Development Center of Mississippi State because of the effort that we did with our SET program, and we're using those funds to develop a regulatory map for food producers and small food producers within the region so that they can understand and know what all the requirements are at the various cities and counties to sell their product, and also with the various farmer markets. Another project that came out of SET and now in part of the SEDS is we received a USDA Rural Business Enterprise grant in 2013, and we are developing, promoting a buy local project in the region. There's a website called buylocalruralnv.com, and this is where a locally owned business can at least get a listing, and then they can get some other advantages if they choose to go ahead with that. But right now, there are over 2,100 businesses listed on that website. So hopefully we can generate this attitude and encourage everybody to buy local. Another work group that came out of this was called the Access to Capital, and this is a project that ended up with WNDD because we've created an alternative revolving loan fund utilizing basically public sector money to make small business loans. We did our first one in November of last year to a businessman in the Urington area. We're also partnering with City of Fernley in our RLF to try and receive some additional funds for lending through the city CDBG program. The Energy Work Group, one of the things that they wanted to do was to promote videos, practical application of alternative energy, a commercial, retail, and residential in particular sites throughout the region. So we were able to work again with the Nevada's Governor's Office of Energy. We got another small grant. We're going to be working with schools and their media programs in particular to be able to go out and construct these videos and then make them available through our website and also through YouTube postings. The big project we're working on right now is an application to the Economic Development Administration for the Investing and Manufacturing Communities Partnership. This would be a designation that would designate the region as a manufacturing community, and through that designation, if we have applications going to a number of federal agencies for various projects, they're supposed to receive preferential treatment. We started this discussion in the first part of January. We were looking at unmanned autonomous systems as the basis for our application, and we had another meeting where we're looking at doing advanced manufacturing because there is an advanced manufacturing sector in the region. The bulk of the manufacturers are concentrated in Washoe, Carson, Douglas, Western Line. We're starting to see more, I think, out of TRI. But if you look at the handout on page 9, these are the partnerships or the partners that we've been working with and forming to be able to implement this particular project application. Last page is contact information, and we did hire a project manager last May, and when she came on board, we did three grant applications between the 1st of May when she started and 31st, so she was plunged immediately into the fire of WNDD putting applications together. So, do you have any questions?
I have none. I will make a comment. I see that Silver Springs got approved for drone development and testing, and that's pretty close to TRI, and we can never get a highway built. I think there's
yes,
there's some definite good things that might come out of that.
In kind of response to that, we have the USA Parkway completion as part of our SEDS.
Yeah.
And it's also, there's the regional transportation group up in Reno.
Yeah.
And there was a reference earlier this morning to the Trans-Sierra Coalition. Those are groups working on transportation issues as well as whatever support we can provide to.
Yeah, that's transportation is a key to an awful lot of this economic development.
Yes.
I think that the three of us will beat up Harry and the rest of the gang when we get back there next month.
Well, it'll be interesting because you're, you know, as NACO, you'll be there, I think, in the first part of March.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think the League of Cities.
League of Cities
follows.
Yeah.
And then last, but maybe least, is WNDD at the end of the month.
At least.
So when we go back, we talk about the same things, and we try to reinforce and support what's been said previously because it always helps to reiterate the positions.
Can I say a few words? I want to thank Ron. When I got this job in 2005, I was a doubter. You know, we had a few less bucks, and we had to be extremely careful. But when you see a presentation like we just had, and I'm not at all saying we shouldn't support our kids in our communities as much as we can on the 4-H, at least to the extent that we get return on our dollars. Ron has, over the many years preceding 2005 and consistently since 2005, developed dynamic new approaches and strategies to bringing people together. When he mentions the 1-2-3 punch of NACO, League of Cities, and then WNDD, which is not least at a long shot. I think he was the closer.
Following numbers.
You and Dean. But I want to tell you, too, there's another group sandwiched in there, I believe, right with us on top of NACO that I see Ron at every meeting, and that's a shared federal framework. Yes. It's a regional partnership, you know, to try to, again, approach Washington, D.C. with one voice for one region on our shared concerns.
Yeah.
He does a great job. And again, just to give you economic balance here, and I can't remember if it's 5,000 or if you cut us to four, okay? Yeah, I think we were at 5,000 initially. This is the only organization I've ever seen out there that sometime subsequent to 2005 came back in, looked at their distributive shares, brought in more counties, increased their bang for the buck, and we now pay $4,000 a year for everything we get out of the Western Nevada Development District. And he's at every economic function I go to, from the governor's breakfast to the NNDA to everything. So he's a great leader of a two-person department.
I, too, have eaten a few of those $50 breakfasts.
Well, again, whatever the district can do, you know, regarding some of your issues or concerns, let us know. And participation in the board, our board, the WNDD board, is always good, too, because it brings elected officials together in our venue at a neutral site, basically.
Money for USA Parkway.
Yes, that's on our list. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Ron.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Always good to see you. You always have good news for us.
Okay, looks like we're going to move item 15 up right now. Approval of the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development Grant Agreement, and Loan Resolution.
Okay, for the record, Sherry Nevin, and I have Cheryl Couch from the USDA with me today. Just give you a little bit of a background here. In early 2013, the Commission approved and signed the USDA letter of intent to meet conditions outlined in the attached letter that you received with your packet called the LOC. The LOC outlines all the conditions that must be met prior to USDA rural development authorizing the county to go out to bid and proceed with construction. Rural development has worked closely with county staff over the last year to make sure that all of the conditions have been met. One of the conditions is the RUS Bulletin 1780-27, which is the loan resolution required by the USDA Rural Development. In addition, a grant agreement, which is the RUS 1780-12, is required to be approved by the County Commission to authorize grant funds to Story County. For this project, the loan resolution for the financing is in the amount of $3,200,000 and a grant of $2,312,794.
Commissioners, if I can add in, again, this goes without saying, we're grateful for the grant. We're grateful for the low discount, long terms on the loan. But undoubtedly, sewer bills in Virginia City and Gold Hill specifically will be going up to help cover this payment.
Going to have to.
That is correct.
Boy, where do we sit with BLM right now?
Sitting. I think they are very tired of hearing from us, both on the county level and our engineer Far West. Last I heard, we should be expecting the deed or the patent, as they're calling it, to be recorded at our recorder's office. So I've alerted the recorder's office as soon as they get that to please let us know. We will then turn to Cheryl and say this is done, and then we can begin the process of hopefully moving forward and going out to bid shortly thereafter. So we are on them. All of the fees have been paid. Everything that we had to do on our end has been done. It's just a matter of getting those documents recorded.
And also treat Cheryl nicely, because you heard mention of the fire trucks, ambulance chassis. Lord knows we may be looking at deficit financing on a street sweep or two to see if we can come to your stuff.
I hope that lawsuit we filed against them.
That and the Amity Lands Act.
And the land grab that we're working on. So anyway, we'll see how that goes.
So are we prepared to approve this today without having the deed from the BLM? We're okay with this, Cheryl?
Cheryl Couch with USDA Rural Development. Yes, we would prefer, this is part of kind of preliminary loan closing. We would like to have this loan resolution enacted prior to the county closing their interim financing that will actually then cover the costs of construction. And then And we'd just like to have this in place, partly so it doesn't get overlooked, and then, and we do want it prior to the interim financing being closed. You know, we hope you had a chance to overlook it. It does obligate the county, obviously, to certain items. It is a standard form. We're not asking, requiring anything of the county that we don't require of every single applicant across the country, so it's not unique to you. And then the grant agreement, we just like to have enacted at the same time, especially so it doesn't get overlooked. So the, when it gets to the point where we get a pay request, example, construction started and we want to advance grant funds, we can't do it without a signed grant agreement, and we don't want to say, we forgot. So that's the primary reason.
And this is essentially our takeout loan for the interim financing. So
well, yeah, exactly. And this loan resolution, you have two separate items. Our loan resolution, the USDA, the RUS Bulletin loan resolution, is obligating the county to do, you know, specific things. You know, you must maintain a user rate that will cover your debt service and your operations and maintenance. You'll maintain adequate records and books and make them available to us. You'll comply with civil rights requirements, et cetera. So it's more to the administrative type items of the permanent loan financing. And then for your interim financing and then your permanent bond, you will have a bond resolution, separate animal, but related.
Okay, pretty good.
So I have a place. If you do decide to act, I brought an extra copy, or if you have one in your packet, whichever you need.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think we're prepared to act.
Yep.
See if there's
any discussion from the audience? Come on up, Mark.
Mark Frillis, for the record, commissioners. I was hoping that there'd be a limit to how high people's sewer rates would go, but now I am getting to feel like as high as it takes. So is there any estimate of how high people's sewer rates will go?
Well, up in the four-digit numbers, I would expect.
Well, I mean, wasn't it quoted like 800 or 900 customers or?
We did have some preliminary numbers, but we also have not gone out to bid, Mark, so we've got to be able to balance what the bids come in at.
We don't have any idea.
Together with and how that needs to be spread over the users in Virginia City and Gold Hill.
That's $3 million sounds like a lot for 600 people to pay off. Eh?
It is, but it could have been five.
Could have been five, yeah. Any other discussion?
Okay, motion is to approve the grant agreement with the United States Department of Agriculture and the loan resolution for financing the Virginia's Divide Sewer System construction.
I'll second that motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Now we're going to move back up to number 12.
Okay.
Okay, item 12, discussion, possible action, the approval of interlocal agreement between the Aging and Disability Division and the County of Story for provision of children's developmental services. Who's got this?
Mr. Chairman, to the best of my knowledge, this was Austin's, in Austin's world. I believe we had requested a representative from the Department of Aging Services to be present to explain the terms of this contract, the cost to the county of this contract, the need and why this contract has to be executed.
Right.
So absent any presence here, I would recommend continuation to an indefinite date.
So I'll motion to continue that to our next meeting then.
Well, if we could just leave the date open, they're going to have to be here.
Or just yeah. Continue to an appropriate time then.
All right.
Motion for continuance. Any discussion on this? I'll go ahead and second it. It's been moved and seconded to continue item 12. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Item 13.
This will be, I hope, fairly simple. excuse me. We had a sudden vacancy on our Board of Equalization. We had appointed Nick Fain last year, and the scheduling conflicts and work demands, Nick needed to be there. I might add, this is a very complex position. This is probably one of our most intricate volunteer boards that we use. This is a combination of one government official, and then we usually try to put lay people out there to serve on this board. This is where you look at the methodologies our assessor uses to assess properties, both residential and commercial. And I should say assessors, because we use a contract assessor on our commercial buildings out at TRI. And thank goodness for people like Laura Kukuli, who continue to stand up and take punches publicly, but are willing to volunteer for things like our planning commission. You saw her earlier with the Mark Twain board. I was hoping she would stay. She was also on our debt management commission as a member at large this morning at 9:30, and will be back again in August. But we need to get an appointment to fill this slot now so we can proceed with the county board hearings next month. End of this month, excuse me.
Okay. So anyway, is there discussion on the appointment of Lauren Kukuli? Come right up, Mr. Beach.
I agree with the manager that it's a key position, but it seems that the county always goes to these same few people. And there was a man in here last week, or last meeting, called Frank Ensign. He'd probably be more than willing to volunteer. Dale Beach would be more than willing to volunteer. And that fellow that owns a business here that was fighting with the water department would be more than willing to volunteer.
He's not a resident of the county, by the way.
Oh, isn't he?
No.
Oh, okay. I am.
I know you are.
22 plus years. And I'm here at these meetings anyway. I've been making it a yearly habit to be at the... that ain't my 2 minutes and 30 seconds, Mr. District Attorney. Don't be calling that crap on me. I've got a lot of qualifications on this tax. Yes. Ad valorem, because I pay property tax, and sometimes more than I want to, but I would really like to get involved in this, and you know, and you just sort these people up, and the DA should take his coat off. I'm getting a chill in here just because he's sitting up here chattering.
Freezing. Tired of freezing.
So I think, you know, could you guys go back and maybe wait for Lance and do a little more soul searching and see if you can't broaden out the people that you're pointing at. She's on two boards already. And why, you know, we're a little county, yes, but if people want to participate.
Well, we can't go back, Mr. Beach, because we have to do the appointment today because we don't have enough time between now.
And the 18th? Oh, I know it, yes.
The next meeting's here on the 17th.
Okay. So. Well, do what you have to do, but then you're going to have some appointments up for 15, are you?
Not necessarily, but it could happen.
Well, don't these people get appointed for a certain time?
Yes, they have terms.
Here forever?
No,
they no, have terms. I don't know what, I don't know who, I don't I'm know on who, it, yeah. So.
I know you are, yes. You're on.
I don't know how many years it is.
I believe it's 3 years.
3 years? Yeah, so perhaps next year we might have an opening, Mr. Beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Consider me and consider that fellow from, I got his name right here.
Okay, we'll wait for him to go ahead and put his name in, okay?
I'll call him. You got his phone number?
I'm going to go sit down, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Staff stands by its recommendation to appoint Laura Kukuli to the Board of Equalization.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay.
Okay, my motion then is to appoint Laura Kukuli to fill the unexpired term of Nick Fain on the Board of Equalization.
And I'll second the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Move on to item number 14, discussion possible action, second reading of ordinance 13-251. Mr. Morris.
Good afternoon, board. Robert Morris for the record. If I could just go through a little bit of the procedure that we've done, just to make it really clear. We started on December 3rd We had an item about whether to continue the infrastructure tax and what to put on the planned projects, and then we had the first reading of this ordinance. In January 7th, we had a workshop on the plan of projects, and they were discussed. January 21st, the board approved the plan of projects. Those have been inserted into this copy of the ordinance, so there is a change from the introduction, which is the list that the board approved. And we are here today for the second reading of Ordinance 1351. When I started on this project, I was asked by Mr. Gallagher to help with it. I found that it was hard to figure out what tax went with what section of the code. I also found that the code was a little bit out of date. So there are several things that have been done. One is that there are NRS sites to go with the specific code section, so everybody knows what section of NRS the money is being collected for. And it's all sales tax. There's a VNT tax. There's an infrastructure tax. There's a tourism promotion tax. And so this just makes it clear, and I think will help the county in the future keeping track of which tax is which. The other thing that was done that is the most important part of this ordinance is the inclusion of the plan of projects. Those are all in, and I think the county can go ahead and, as Mr. Witten pointed out, use the budget process for picking which of those projects are going to go forward first. If you look on the second page of the ordinance, that's where the list of projects are. The other changes in the ordinance, as I said, the NRS has been amended several times. A couple of the, when the code was originally done, they used the existing NRS. The changes to the NRS had not been made to our code, Story County code. So just for example, all the fees have gone from $1 to $5. So I've made changes in the code to put $5. There's the application procedures have been changed through the Department of Taxation as to how they want things. So I just went through the current NRS, changed this code to match that. And so I believe it's currently up to date. The only other thing that I'd like to discuss briefly is that the tourism promotion tax, when it was passed, didn't have any numbering on it. And so the book publishers put it in a separate section. It was entitled 3, but it wasn't with the rest of the taxes that are sales taxes. And my feeling is that it's, since it's covered by the same NRSs, that it was appropriate to move it from where it was into the area where the, all the sales taxes are. And so I did that. And so unless there's any questions, I would just ask that you go ahead and approve the second reading of the ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Morris. Ms. Clark, come on up.
I want to... thank you, for Bob, for all the work you've done on getting this VCTC thing squared away. And I know we've got probably a few more ordinances that need to be fixed and updated. And, but I think we're making good progress on it. I think it's outstanding.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Looks like we have.
Yep.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. At the last commission meeting, when this was discussed and passed, the handout that you did, which I thought was pretty good, based on the projects for the infrastructure, was broken up into the infrastructure column and the capital column. Okay? That was because many of the things on this laundry list are, in fact, capital items. So what is represented in this document is not separated out per the last thing you handed out as the infrastructure list, which was the under Public Works and Water, $3 million for replace Lakeview water line is under infrastructure. The VNT depot purchase, the restoration, the Gold Hill restoration, the courthouse remodel was under infrastructure. Fire station, sheriff's office, justice of the court building purchase were in process, but are really more capital. Gallagher Park lot, all of the land purchases essentially are in capital. Nothing below that came out of infrastructure. So the list that's in here is not the list as represented in the meeting when you discussed what the infrastructure tax was that you were voting on in terms of the projects. The second thing is the mystery of Connell lot purchase, which appears on this list, is brand new, did not appear on any of the prior lists. So that's made its way onto this somehow out of the blue. So I don't know what it is you guys are voting on, because the list that's in here is the original laundry list, which commingled capital expenses and infrastructure. As such, I don't know how you can vote on this, because this is not what you discussed in the last meeting as what the actual infrastructure items are.
Would you like me to address that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I have some comments, too.
I believe we were abundantly clear. That list that Mr. Gallagher provided at the last meeting was indeed a continuation of a document that outlined the potential other sources that we may go to rather than to the infrastructure list. We may go to capital. We may stay in infrastructure. We may go, for instance, on the VNT depot purchase. This document does not bind us to spend these monies in this way. It allows us to, and if we do any different, then we have to revisit the ordinance, revisit the plan, revisit the whole thing. So this is an all-encompassing list for every project as we know it now. And again, as I have said over and over and over again, some of these may never go against infrastructure.
Yeah,
the VNT depot and VNT restoration, for instance. To be very truthful, Nicole, I appreciate your email from the other day. You know, we intend to make demand when and if we go through that process of acquisition. We don't even own it. So there's no point in debating where these monies are going to come from yet. They are allocations for those monies should we need it. The mystery of the Connell purchase lot is very easy. Sheriff Antonoro and I have been working for 2 years with Rich Connell. He has subdivided his lot behind his business that's directly north of the sheriff and DA complex. And we were we were hoping to be able to acquire that. Rich still has some hurdles to go through, typical of real estate transactions up here on the Comstock. So before that can be done, he's got to clear up things on his end. He's interested in selling. These are not to exceed approximations. And again, those items may not wind up being charged to infrastructure. They may be charged in the public approval process through capital projects or through other funds, inclusive of the VNT Rail Commission.
Am I incorrect in my reading of what the infrastructure NRS states is possible to purchase? Isn't it water, school, and historic? I mean, isn't there
Public safety facilities are in there as well. We have to put that to the test. Roads are in there.
Okay, so I'm just saying, what this is a blank check you guys are writing yourselves.
No, we're not. No, we're not. This ordinance is to continue the infrastructure tax.
Yeah.
If it's to continue the infrastructure tax. And this list.
So that we can continue to collect the infrastructure tax.
But what you're telling me is this list is meaningless because it can change and it will change. Maybe be in capital.
We said that from day one.
Okay, so why would you include capital purchases as part of an infrastructure tax conversation?
Because we may not have sufficient funding in capital projects or others. We may rely on this.
I still state, you are not providing us with any priority of what is in fact in mind for you to spend this money on. The last resolution is very explicit. There were two items that you guys prioritized. Those were the two items that were in the resolution. That was very clear. This is just, there's no accountability for this. None.
Well, my comments are that, you know, we're all the way to the second reading of this thing, and no one stepped forward.
Well, Nicole has in the past. We've argued the same point at every meeting, and we disagree. We're taking the advice of our legal counsel, and that's what they're paid for.
And
go ahead, Dave, come on up.
That's my comments. That please don't interrupt me, Mr. Phillips. I'm talking. So that's my opinion, is that this is the second reading, and where were all these people at in the interim to come in and speak with legal counsel and comptroller and the county manager? So that's my opinion.
And before Dave goes on to the next item on here, I want to point out again, we will prioritize publicly through the process, both through the budgeting process and conceivably through special items occurring on this agenda to authorize expenditures from this account that have been embedded into this ordinance and into the plan. For instance, right now, these are best guess from our engineers on rough costs to restore water in the 5 mile reservoir that was destroyed several years back, and to increase the integrity of the Divide reservoir. Those incrementally are about 5 million gallons of water storage and in excess of 1 million gallons of water storage that, as we enter a drought year, we feel is critical that we use sufficiently some of our allocations under the Franktown decree, and also to have stockpiled, you know, for wildland fire suppression and everything else. So we will bring those priorities to you. The Tri-County Road Repair, we may not wait. We may come to you and ask for approval to expend some of these monies or other monies on the flood control repairs out of Tri, because that area is ripe for another once in a 100-year flood that seems to happen every 2 years out there or something. So we did significant damage to our roads out there when the canyon, when the waters came down the canyon, and we need to expedite. And as Mike reported earlier, we've got good momentum on that. So I think the priorities will identify themselves throughout the process based on urgency and based on opportunity.
Great. Thank you. Yep. Mr. Thomas.
Okay. Dave Thomas from the Highlands. I have a couple questions first. You have a total here of approximately $7.7 million in itemized projects. Over what time frame does this amount apply?
To the best of my knowledge, Mr. Thomas, we have right now, once we finished up the last projects on the previous ordinance list, which were school roofing repairs and water line repairs that we did back in the 1990s, we have been amassing additional taxes under this in anticipation of cleaning up this part of the process. We have about $2 million in the account now. How long will it take? I think our comptroller calculated this out. It's going to take
47 years
if we ever get there on this. This is a dynamic. I'd love to talk to you, you know, separately too, Dave, to kind of bring it to.
Well, I'm just talking about what funding is going on. You have a number here, $7.7 million, and some of the $2 million is already committed. I happen to know personally of $200,000. On the fire station,
right,
that you haven't paid.
Yes,
stuff
exactly.
Like that.
Yes.
And the sheriff's office.
But my question is, what time, you know, is this a 10-year thing? Is it a 5-year thing? Is it a 20-year thing?
I think our council can infer.
There's really no sunset on the tax. It's when you set up the list of projects, you can collect the tax to use on those projects. If you complete all your projects, then you have to decide again whether to extend the tax, and at that time you need to put in a new set of projects if you decide to extend it. So I would say, based on the approximate time frame that Mr. Gallagher said, this is probably good for 50 years.
And Dave, this is
so it uses 50 years of the infrastructure tax to be able to do this.
If we were to fund every
project on this list and
yes.
never put another one on. That's correct, but that's never been the intent or what we have publicly disclosed through our meetings. We consider this, even though it's an ordinance, and it's difficult to change ordinances under Nevada law, this is a dynamic process. We're probably going to visit this once a year, look at this and say, where have we gotten other monies? I mean, we intend to go out for grants on some
okay.
stuff.
Okay, let me ask a different question. How much money goes into the infrastructure fund currently each year now? That will answer my question.
It varies, but on average, I would say we're slightly under $200,000 a year in an average year, and it depends on project progress out in the industrial park. When we built a $500 million power plant, that quarter cent generated $600,000, Hugh, I think. When Walmart did a very large project, that was a big blip. The big projects have a tendency to make big impact in this and other okay. quarter cent overrides.
Another thing, I just wanted to know, just generally speaking, and I come up with maybe 20 years, something like that, 20 to 25 years.
Okay.
If you're putting $200,000 a year in and you're starting out with $2 million. On the public works, water, mm-hmm. As a general observation, this primarily benefits the people in Virginia City and Gold Hill.
And Silver City.
And Silver City.
And Silver City as well. It strikes me that approximately 40% of the total infrastructure funds are being spent one way or another for water. I think the River District, Rainbow Bend, has a GID through which they pay for their own water. We folks in the Highlands are responsible for our own water. If our well goes dry, we cough up $15,000 to Aqua Drilling or whoever to get it fixed. I don't know about Mark Twain. I would presume they're probably on well water. Is that the case? Their wells go dry?
Yes.
It is not a county tax, and just as an observation, roughly 40% of these infrastructure funds on a countywide tax are being paid for the benefit of 21% of the population of the county. I think that is wrong. I think that you could do exactly what they did, and Mark Twain and the Highlands, we eat it individually. And it's an expensive proposition individually. In the River District, they have a GID, and last time I looked, the residences there are paying upwards of $1,000 a year, I believe, in total GID fees. It's just an observation. Third thing that I'll observe, and particularly given the 20-year time horizon, and I believe Nicole brought this up at the last commissioner's meeting, there is $75,000 specifically allocated to Mark Twain, $70,000 specifically allocated to Lockwood, $25,000 specifically allocated to Painted Rock, and the Painted Rock, despite the fact that it probably benefits 20 people, there is nothing allocated to the Highlands. And I will remind the commissioners, the 2010 census, the Highlands were 33% of the population of Story County. No, 31%. They are currently approximately 33% of the registered voters. I think there is more than one community center in Virginia City. There is a community center in Rainbow Bend. There is a community center in Mark Twain. And in the Highlands, there is essentially nothing.
We have had this on the agenda for a discussion now for several meetings, and I don't recall you or anyone else from the Highlands stepping up with anything you'd like to put on the list.
That is true.
Where does that leave us?
Well, here is it a statutory
requirement? If you're going to talk to us, please.
Yes.
It is. Does it have to be an absolute list, or can it be?
It doesn't, and I think that's what Mr. Whitten is
trying to say. In that case, I might suggest a change of one word to two words. It currently reads, "The board has adopted a plan for expenditures out of the infrastructure special revenue fund to include." Scratch "to" and put "which may." That way you built in to the county code what you have been purporting to be what is going to happen.
I think that's a great suggestion, given the spirit of what we tried to set with this. Some of these may never come out of infrastructure. That is clear, and I think...
And right now, this section of the code reads, it's sort of the difference between the words legally, shall and may. Shall means you're going to do it. May means maybe you are going to do it. And rather than having it be an absolute, which the word "to" implies, you're saying the list is to include the list which may include, which is what you've been telling everybody all along, that this is sort of a thing up there, but this is not really the way it's going to be. It might be something different depending upon what comes up.
I would agree. I think it may include these. It may not. We need to be clear, though.
Yeah.
It may not include anything else that's not on this list at this point. If another project were to come up, say the Highlands Community Center, we will need to go back through the process of adding it to the plan and incorporating the plan back
yeah,
into this.
Exactly.
So,
okay, those are my comments.
You know, and I might add a couple of things, Dave. Commissioner Chavanga is absolutely right. Mr. Beach spoke on flood control needs in Mark Twain. Commissioner Gilman heard that and requested that flood control be addressed in Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gilman was out in the Painted Rock area and heard consistent complaints about the quality of the bridge out there, which is a perennial problem for us. And he heard that and asked that X number of dollars be included for that bridge. So this really was, I think, intended to be, and in the cases of those communities that you mentioned, Mark Twain, Painted Rock, Lockwood, who also got some flood erosion control and stuff, these were grassroots efforts where the people like Mr. Beach stood up and said, we need some flood control. We don't know how much yet, but we know we've earmarked some money now through this process. So,
I know that's just overall impression when I look down that list. For a county-wide program, 85% of the expenditures go to Virginia City Gold Hill.
Yeah, well, made. And
the way the list, that's factual.
And I would tell you, I don't have an argument for that. You are right, and we are painful on that, except to say $380,000 of that conceivably could definitely benefit the people in the Highlands, could definitely benefit the people in Mark Twain on wildland fire drop zones for these waters. So even if we excluded those, your argument is still, or your observation is still fair, that $3 million of $7 million is a lion's share of the money. But just to keep that in perspective, if we were to follow that argument all the way through, then if Commissioner Gilman and his team besides Chris were here, we should certainly be looking at the lion's share of this to be going out to try, because this is where these monies are generated.
That
the
is,
quarter cent and other sales tax revenue generation,
which is why I have no question whatsoever about the $650,000, whatever this is going to try. You're absolutely right.
For example, as a community center in the Highlands, if the residents of the Highlands want a community center, you need to come to a meeting and ask for it. We're not going to arbitrarily put on this list a community center for the Highlands, because not one person in the year that I've been on this board has come to a meeting saying, we'd like to put in a community center in the Highlands with the assistance of the county. That's just never happened, Dave.
If we don't know about it, there's no way it's going to get on the list. But the other thing I was going to say is that we do have, we can add things to the list periodically. So
that's fine. Like I said, I would make my suggested wording change. It's minor.
Yeah.
It just makes it absolute.
Yes, and I think that's an appropriate change. I think it's consistent with what we've been trying to do. So when you make a motion, I can give you language to put in, or you could just approve it with that change, and I will make that change and give the corrected copy to the clerk.
We can do that without having another hearing.
Correct, yes.
My motion then would be to approve it with the language change in there.
Okay, we're still going to have Dale come up and speak. Right. Come on up, Mr. Beach.
If I could make an observation before, I mean, a whole bunch of these are for
like, for instance, sheriff's buildings for the entire county. It doesn't just serve, even though it's located here in Virginia City, it doesn't just serve any one area. Same thing with the justice court, courthouse remodel. A lot of these property purchases that we're making are for general government, not just one area of government. Yep. So there's probably, by my calculation, maybe a couple of million dollars that if you're going to allocate by area, you know, I serve the whole county.
I would put it this way. If I can take that into consideration, you know, $3,380,000.
Oh, I got your point. I understand.
But while we're on that subject, too, even though we're setting $3 million aside for the water, we're putting $5 million into a sewer plant. Some of it's grant money, some of it we're borrowing, and the money that's borrowed is by being paid by ratepayers and not county at large.
Right.
So
this is a dynamic document that maybe next year we revisit, and now that you come to the meeting and you're thinking about it, that you could bring projects from the Highlands in to be added to this list. And because this isn't set in stone.
It's just the other things are looking at. The one
you should see the podium if he wants to.
Yeah.
And the other comment, I guess, is that if we don't have something on that list and a grant pops up that we don't know about, we're out of luck. So that list has got to be as complete as we can possibly make it, because, yes, it's 47 years to pay off, but we can't predict that far into the future. We don't know what's going to come up in grant funds. So...
Can I go ahead, and I'm going to assume what I think Mr. Thomas is trying to talk about, because I've heard the number is $1,150,000, which I'm going to guess is the aggregate total of the V&T purchase, the V&T restoration, and the Gold Hill restoration. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me address that.
Yes.
That again, means, clearly for everybody. First, hopefully, number one, this is on historic building preservation, regardless if that building is in Virginia City or anything else, anywhere else. And that is a criteria under the infrastructure ordinance. Two is we hope to be able to turn these into viable venues for events, for the most part, and in some cases, other things that strategy teams are still working on. And it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. That will generate sales tax in the community, which will further feed these funds. And three, and probably most pertinent to this, depending on the financial status of the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the V&T Railway, and depending on when we can get their finance people to agree with us and their independent auditor, we should have, not counting on it, but we should have access to most, if not all, of these monies. Am I counting that chicken before it's hatched? Hell no, because I don't know. But I got to tell you something. We've got an interlocal agreement between the two entities that says every dollar of sales tax collected since a date and time is to go to the back to Story County, in Story County, so long as they have a provision in there to cover deficit operations, provided they notify us monthly. So there's a huge intent right now to say we hope we never have to go to this list for those three project period.
Hey, Mr. Beach.
Yes, I'm Dale Beach, Mark Lane. Proud to be here. And I have spoke on this issue and other issues, but my in concern is Lakeview Waterline, 5 mile reservoir, Divide Reservoir. My understanding is just like the park tax, you've got to spend it where you get it. My understanding is the sewer and the water, the people that use it have to pay for it. Have to pay for it. So my understanding is these ratepayers are the ones that should be getting collecting this money. This is tax money all of us pay in. And now I know the manager says I don't pay it, but I do. I bought a $28,000 truck on the internet, and my son's going to buy a $35,000 SUV Toyota in April, and he's going to pay tax on that because he takes it down to get it licensed. And where do you live? Story County. So you people do get money out of me. And I don't know how we're going to take general tax money, sales tax money, and put it in a water system and a sewer system here in Virginia City and Gold Hill.
Well, you're not putting it into the sewer system. I can tell you that for a fact.
Okay, what about the water system?
I can't answer to that right
now. So you people, you know, you say, well, I've been on, only been on here a year, and I don't understand about the parks. Well, that's been in the law forever. Whenever I come up and try to get a building permit, build my house.
Yeah. Let's stay on what we were talking
okay.
about on this ordinance.
Okay, I think it's narrow, and I think that somebody, the legal end, him or him, somebody ought to find out if they can take general tax money and put it in the water system. I think it's as confined as a sewer. The people that get it pay for it. I'm stuck for everything I do, sewer and water in my house. Ain't no county man comes down here and says, well, we'll drill you a new well, we'll put you in a new pump. Dale Beach and family does that. And I think these people, history says they don't get that general tax money. Whenever they want something, they go get a grant and then borrow money and pay it back on rates. And I think somebody's perverting this tax money over to help do this water thing. They used to stop the county commissioners meeting and say the water board is now in meeting. Last month, you people passed that $80-some thousand or something, or 2 months ago, for the water, for the things they hired that Cruz, I think it was, hired him to redo all that. Now, where did that money come from? Did that come out of the ratepayer's pocket, or did that come out of the general fund? See, because that's limited, too. They got to furnish their own water, just like I do. And we need to get Bill or whoever, somebody in the legal field, to clarify this. Because this went back to when I got here. I couldn't build without paying $500 park fee. Had to do it. And I did it because I wanted to build. So now you're asking me as a taxpayer to fund the water in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City. And I don't think it's legal for you to force me to do that, or any other taxpayer.
Okay, thank you. We will look into it. Thank you.
May I ask Mr. Morris a question?
Yeah.
Mr. Morris, do you know of any legal requirements that where the quarter cent is collected, it has to go toward?
I attached the NRS 377B160 on the previous times when you were discussing the plan, and I think it's very clear that it says must only be expended by the Board of County Commissioners in the manner set forth in the plan adopted pursuant to the subsection 4, and then it specifically calls out water facilities, wastewater facilities. I think this was a decision of the legislature of a way for small counties to generate some sales tax money to pay for infrastructure, and I think what you're doing is entirely proper.
And I think it has historic preservation in there also, doesn't it?
There's a separate section for tourism, promotion of tourism.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you for the explanation.
All right.
Any other discussion on this? Very good. All right.
We are going to.
You want to get under the wire?
You're going to
come on
into the, jump into the fray, Mark.
Story County elected a district attorney, and statute requires the district attorney to write these ordinances without charging the county anymore. And if any of you are getting legal advice, you're getting it from the district attorney or our deputy who's on record, an appointment at oath. It is not legal for you to get legal advice from anybody else but the district attorney or a duly appointed deputy.
Thank you.
Who's using the most water now? Sweet Deal, Comstock Mining. No tremendous amount of usage and no benefit to the water company. So.
Well, before that's either addressed or not, I'd like to comment on that.
You can hire whoever you want to give them legal advice. So in this case, a long time ago, I have the services of Mr. Morris in my budget, but the commission can choose to get counsel other than the DA to legally advise it. And I have hired Bob as a deputy because he's retired, and he's doing this more as almost a favor to me at the hourly rate that he's getting paid. I can tell you that if you were to go to any other lawyers and get the legal advice you're getting, especially with the background and experience that Mr. Morris has, you'd be paying 2 to 3 times as much money than what you are. So the commission, there's a specific statute that allows the commission to hire counsel other than the DA. And the truth is often does. There's a statute that says I can represent the school district, but there's only 2 school districts in the state that are represented by the DA, and that's Story and Mineral County. All the rest of the school districts have chosen to go out and get outside counsel, which they can do on civil stuff. Obviously, you can't. The only job I have to do is prosecute cases in the county. I have unbridled and arbitrary discretion when it comes to that. But other than that, if the commission chooses to get outside counsel, like whenever we negotiate labor contracts, we hire outside counsel because they have an expertise in it. If we're going to try to get a bond issue on, there's firms that I used to work for, Sherman Howard out of Denver, Colorado, whose sole job or whole thing that they do is facilitate bond issuances. So the commission is authorized to hire outside counsel, and in this case, that's what we've got with Mr. Morris.
Great, thanks. And then, Mr. Witt, would you speak on the matter of the water and Comstock Mining?
Yes, Comstock Mining is not here to defend themselves from what I consider to be a cheap shot.
Yes.
And Mike Nemeth's not here to provide exact information, but I would tell you our agreement with Comstock Mining that this commission has deliberated in public and executed, I'll call it very profitable and beneficial to the water system. We have a wholesale water cost coming down. We know what our treatment costs are. There is a great, and this is untreated water, there is a strong margin over wholesale as it's delivered and diverted off the system. So it is very beneficial to us.
Yeah, great.
Plus, I'd add that that's water that would not have been used at all had we not put it to that beneficial use. So it's money that we wouldn't be getting at all for the water system, save and except that we found a use that we can put it to and that we can get paid for using. So we have a certain allocation of water from the system, and we'd be underusing the amount we're allocated if we weren't selling water to CMI.
Okay, so.
Ready for the motion?
Ready for the motion.
Yeah. I've listened to the arguments on this, and I find all of them without merit. Therefore, my motion is to approve the second reading of Ordinance 13251, amending the Story County Code, Chapter 3.12, to identify the sales tax components and moving a tourism promotion tax from Chapter 3.56 to Chapter 3.12, and to add a provision to update the purpose of the proceeds of the infrastructure and providing for other properly related matters.
Was that with the addition of the verbiage change?
And with the changes that we have discussed verbally here on the may and the shall.
Yeah, specifically pertinent to 3.12.012. That would be to strike the word to in the final sentence and to change that to
which may.
Okay.
To which may.
Which may. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right.
Washington, okay, we covered that one.
Brings us down
16.
I believe to item 16.
16.
Okay. Discussion of possible action. Resolution number 14-389. requesting the assistance of the State of Nevada Attorney General in the prosecution of a criminal matter.
We have a criminal case, and the victim's, one of the victim's family works in our office, which puts us in a position of conflict, and we're going to ask the Attorney General, with the approval of this commission, to ask the Attorney General to come in and, I guess, provide an impartial processing of the case from a prosecution standpoint. The expense potentially might be if they have travel expenses or if there's any witnesses, we would have to pay for them. But other than that, the Attorney General has never charged us for the attorneys they provide.
And this is always the protocol when it involves someone who's a family member or a member of the county. Yeah. It works that way. Okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the case.
Any discussion on this?
Okay, motion to approve resolution 14389 and request the assistance of the Attorney General.
I will second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Aye. All right, community development and planning, item 17. Desi, you're up. This will be the second reading of ordinance 13-254. Adding section 16-24, period 24, period 068, lot consolidation to Story County Code to create a lot consolidation process, and amending section 16.24.070, revision to acreage, and providing for other property-related matters.
Thank you, Chairman. The first reading of this ordinance was January 21st, 2014. And just to give a little bit of explanation, for the past several years, the county has been using a lot consolidation procedure to allow an owner of continuous lots to merge them into a single parcel. Staff has reviewed this process and is recommending the board approve this ordinance that solidifies this procedure and puts the lot consolidation procedure into the code. I can explain further if you'd like. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, the ordinance. So if you have any questions or want more.
There's been any changes since the last time we talked about this?
And again, just to remind everybody, this is to take what could be a very burdensome bureaucratic process and in certain limited cases apply a streamlining process for.
Yeah. Makes it easier for the property owners.
Yeah.
Consolidate the property.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
Come on up, Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Phillips, for the record. I had started to raise my hand at the last meeting, at the first reading, and my question could wait. Reading through the package, when it came to the economic impact, it said none, but I'm thinking when people consolidate lots, they'll be paying less taxes. I mean, one lot would be assessed at less value than somebody that's got 10 lots in a row. I mean, so wouldn't it benefit somebody to consolidate a bunch of lots and pay less taxes? That was my thought then. And if someone can make a case that this will have no economic impact to the county, then
we may want to alter that to marginal impact. I will tell you, I bought two lots and had a home built on there. The way land is typically assessed in the county, they use comparisons, and certainly a two-acre, for instance, lot, if you're consolidating two ones or if you're making small other adjustments, you know, it's probably still going to come up with close to a similar process. But that's subject to County Board of Equalization appeals and the whole process.
So yeah.
Maybe if we have stated no fiscal impact, it is marginal and not material.
I've consolidated lots too in the Highlands on several properties and pay the same, you know.
Yeah, I wish it was that way when I consolidated my two, but it wasn't.
You wish to add anything to that? Or?
I'll keep it simple. The process we're doing here is an equitable servitude. It's essentially a covenant, but not a covenant, that goes on two parcels that are joined together. It's done through a deed process. Those parcels still exist, but they're consolidated, and it could have, like I would call, a marginal impact on taxes, but nothing substantial. What it does do is, particularly in our rural areas, like the Highlands and Mark Twain and even the Rainbow Bend, and well, not Rainbow Bend, but the Lockwood area, is one less parcel, is one less straw, or one less well on the ground. That is the major impact that we're going to see here. I would love to see somebody in the Highlands that had 10 or 15 parcels consolidate them together. That's 10 or 15 less people drinking from that groundwater that's out there. That's the major impact that we're going to see here.
Point well made.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Mm-hmm. Motion for approval?
Okay. Motion to approve second reading of Ordinance 13-254 and adding Section 16.24.068, lot consolidation of Story County Code.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right, we'll move along to item 18. Discussion possible action, the approval of a special use permit to construct a and maintain a single-family residence on a 75-acre parcel located in a forestry zone, APN 004-291-22, 205 Eagle View Trail, Mark Twain, Nevada.
Thank you, Chairman. The applicants are Fred and Kim Kraft, and Fred is actually here with us today.
Welcome.
And the section 17.32.20 of the code states one single-family detached dwelling of permanent character and location is permitted in a forestry zone, subject to securing a special use permit. I can go through all of the background and analysis if you'd like. I mean, it's all stated in the staff report. Would you like me to do that?
It's not necessary. I sat in on the Planning Commission where everything was laid out there.
Okay,
well,
yeah,
I think
same.
You were
nothing's meeting. Changed since then.
Yeah, I've driven up there and looked at everything.
And then compliance with the zoning code and the master plan, there are no evident conflicts between the proposal and the county master plan or the zoning code.
If all the new rural construction was going to be on a 75-acre parcel, mm-hmm. the rest of Story County. Any discussion on this from the audience?
I have just one comment. I want to welcome Mr. Kraft. I don't know you, but welcome to Story County, hopefully. And I got to tell you, you have the patience of Job. If I'd have known that was you back there, we might have tried to jockey you in with a few of the other switches. But thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah. So.
Mr. Commissioner, when you're doing your approval, we do ask Desi go ahead and read the findings for the record.
Right ahead.
Okay, the findings of fact. The special use permit complies with the purpose and intent under Story County Code 17.32, forestry zone, and that the use will protect areas having important environmental qualities in Story County under unnecessary degradation and to provide areas of very low density residential use. Second, the special use permit complies with the general purpose, goals, and objectives and standards of the county master plan. This title and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to official notice of the county. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding areas. And the conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with the applicable fire codes, including necessary water capacity to suppress potential fires. And lastly, the special use permit addresses goal one and objective 1.1 in chapter 9 of the master plan, because granting this permit is compatible with zoning map, master plan, and previous planning decisions.
Okay.
Very good.
Having heard the findings in fact and conclusions of law, I would motion to approve the single-family residence APN 004-291-22 at 205 Eagleview Trail in Mark Twain.
I'll second your motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries.
Have you put your well in yet?
Not yet.
Oh. So that's going to be the next big surprise, huh?
Welcome to Surrey County.
Come out and dance around and wave some feathers and burn some sagebrush, say a bunch of Hail Marys. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for being so patient.
Yep.
All right, item 19. Possible action, licensing board on second readings. I think this might have been brought up earlier on item I. I think there's a typo on that. I think it's supposed to be Emporium.
So Chris has got it.
There is, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thompson, would you like to come on up?
Isn't this about the third time this has been misspelled?
Somebody took the O off the keyboard. So.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Schwangen, Mr. Witten, Mr. Maddox, my name is Chris Thompson. I work at TRI and for Mr. Gilman. Just a point of clarification on the item I. The current DBA that I think Mr. Gilman and Don Gilman are going to use there is Mustang Ranch Steakhouse. That's the DBA. The entity that's going to operate it, the formal entity name, is Mustang Ranch Retailers, LLC. And I believe Mr. Haymore's office is using the DBA name on this list. So if you're using the DBA, then the proper DBA would be Mustang Ranch Steakhouse.
Okay, Chris, I'll work with Dean's office. Would you just get me a quick email as to what
yes, sir.
Should be?
Certainly.
And we'll make sure. And if we need an amended business license application, we'll...
Certainly.
We'll
yes, sir.
Guys. Okay, thank you.
So we'll scratch the word Emporium off.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, it's retailers.
And we don't have to misspell it again.
And ironically, we'd like to continue with Dean Haymore's recommendation. Item H, Aero Construction. Item I, Mustang Ranch, either Imprim or Emporium, LLC. And item J, Mustang Ranch Mercantile, to be continued.
So H, I, and J to be continued?
Yes, sir.
So moveth.
And I'll second that. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. And before I read the list of second readings to be approved, I would like to note that items A, E, and F have an annotation parenthetically next to them that say they are an RDOS supplier. We're trying to give you perspective as to what these large businesses attract in terms of this. This is a massive project. I do believe that we should have at the next commission meeting on February 18th contractual agreements set between the county and the state of Nevada, Governor's Office of Economic Development, and also Story County, the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, and RDOT for application and use of a sizable chunk of money, of stimulus monies. I noticed Gunther left the room. All I can say is, while this is taxpayer money, this is not Story County taxpayer money, this is money that the legislature had packed away two sessions ago to incent and attract dynamic businesses such as RDOT. They're investing over $60 million in equipment alone in this building that has been empty for several years, and they're doing great things out there. So with that, Dean's office recommends approval of items A through G, which is Karima International Machinery, Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, Wild Horse Gallery and Gift, Sierra Construction and Development, Siemens Metals Technology, and Western Industrials Contractors, and Truckee Mountain Home Center. Be approved.
Motion to approve.
Second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Item 20, public comment.
No public comment today.
No public comment? Okay. Come on up, Dave.
I may as well.
Grab mine.
Dave Thomas, Highlands.
Come on up. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
Because my name was taken in vain in the Comstock Chronicle last week, it appeared regarding the park fund. something I know that is near and dear to not only the people in the Highlands, but Gunther and the River District. In May 11th, 2010, which is a little bit less than 4 years ago, I gave Pat a tome on the Highlands Park Fund. And it was basically a forensic accounting exercise. This is something that I do professionally, forensic accounting. I serve as an expert witness in court cases. And in the last week, I've gotten copies of emails on the Park Fund and what is happening with the Park Fund. So it is very easy to find out definitively what should be in the Park Fund. The county has only spent money on the Highlands Park three times. The three times that the county has spent money are back in, let me go back further in history. Back in 2002, the county purchased the initial playground equipment and some picnic tables. Then in 2006, whether or not it should have been charged to the park fund, Aqua Drilling drilled a well under the auspices of the fire department. And then, I believe it was 2011, the county did some additional improvements on the park. In total, the county, since 1992, has spent approximately $58,000 on improvements at the park. Since 1992, there have been 338 building permits issued in the Highlands. It's pretty easy to figure out what the precise number is. It would be very easy not to do an audit, because when you audit something, you sample. Go down to the building department. They have all the original building permits. They have them filed by APN sequentially. I can give you the APN of every house that I think was built, and I got that information from the assessor's database. One of the things in the database is year of construction. I don't know whether that's when the building permit was pulled or whether the C of O was issued. Okay. But a conservative number is 338. At $250 per house for the park fund, that is $84,500. You have spent $58,000, the difference being of $26,000 being what at a minimum should be in the park fund. The park fund is collected pursuant to NRS 278.4983, which is, that's the statutory authority for it. That particular statute required that the county segregate the park fund for each neighborhood, put it into a separate fund, and put it into an interest-bearing account. Okay? The county never did that. The county took the park fund monies and put it into the general fund. And the county was not even aware of this till I informed Pat in 2010. You're in violation of the statute. Okay, you can't do this. Well, the interest may not sound like an important thing, but District Attorney Maddox could probably correct me if I'm wrong. But if the county was supposed to put it in an interest-bearing account, and the county did not do it, the county would be obligated to pay what's called statutory or legal interest. Fortunately for the county, that interest is simple interest, does not compound. It's just interest on the amount. But, unfortunately, although the county should have $26,000 ex interest in the Highlands Park Fund right now, if you compute statutory interest back to 1992, that's roughly an additional $54,000. And here is the issue. I mean, this is something that the county could figure out on its own what should be in the park funds, because I know the county has ledgers for each park fund. You have your park fund ledgers out there. in which you put expenditures for whatever the expenditures were for. That's how I found out what was spent on the Highlands Park Fund. I requested that information from the county. But you could find out what should be in the Rainbow Bend Park Fund, and the Highlands Park Fund, and the Mark Twain Park Fund. If you just had somebody go through, it would probably, I figured for the Highlands, I could do it in 12 hours. It would take 12 hours to go through the files and just pull all the building permits and add up all the $250 as it reflected and see, you know, what is there. But, you know, I'm using the 1992 amount pursuant to what Bill, an email of Bill's, and I had already figured it out going back to 1992. But right now, there's roughly 550 houses on Highlands, and, you know, they weren't all built back in the old days, I think everybody knows, and this is monies that should have gone to the park and haven't gone to the park.
What year did you say the legislation was enacted, Dave?
I've been told, I believe that that statute went in 1992. Now, in terms of Story County itself, the ordinance was put on the books. You've been collecting the park fees since 1985, I believe. That was the, somewhere in here, I have the...
How the heck did you collect park fees if you didn't have a law standing? I think I called BS on that.
Pardon?
We got it.
We're just here.
You got a clock running out.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm just saying, they said, you know, you started collecting in 85.
Even before there was an NRS to collect it?
Pardon me?
You're suggesting it was starting, it was being collected before there was an NRS statute?
Yes, but the NRS statute says that
no
that's...
No county code?
Pardon me?
And no county code to back it up?
There may be a county code. I know what it says on the building permit. The building permit references the NRS statute on the county park thing.
Yeah, but I mean, if... What I'm saying is that you're saying that the county was collecting it 7 years prior to being NRS enacted.
Yeah.
The assessment records has, beginning in 85, 250 being collected.
If you go back to the building permits.
Okay.
But the problem is, these funds were supposed to be segregated, and I'll be absolutely honest, the whole thing is a bloody mess.
Well, at one time they were segregated.
Pardon me?
According to Maggie Loffler, at one time they were segregated.
Mm-hmm. Dave is essentially correct on everything he's saying. I don't question his credentials. We may have some differences. Number one, you can't assume that every one of those houses were built in 1992 to start the interest calculations on those $250 fees that were paid. I mean,
well, you're going to pay the interest on the fee from the date of its collection.
Exactly. So you can't go put back to
up until the point it was spent, because those monies had been spent as improvements were being made. Correct.
Yeah.
But the key there is when Dave pointed that out to me in 2010, as I recall, he and I reviewed it with then legal counsel, and we did indeed have a line item, I believe, in the administrative portion of the buildings and grounds, one of the two, for the community parks. And we then took that, put that into a dedicated fund that we call the park fund.
Yeah.
And we've got four different line items for those park funds. So I think we are compliant, perhaps, with everything but the interest bearing. You'll have to go back and check on that. The real issue at hand here is, again, how much is left. And I'm going to say, on the record or not, detailed records that were here when Maggie Lowther left office upon her retirement did not transfer to the comptroller's office along with the transition from auditor-recorder to comptroller. So those records were never provided. We've done everything, and I'll let Hugh speak to what he has done. We've done everything to reconstruct what
we can. I think that we're the ones that are being accused, so rules of evidence say get your evidence, hard evidence.
Why don't we go?
It was about $6,000 left.
Pardon me?
I see only about $6,000 left for the Highlands. And I have seen no evidence
To the contrary, I've heard a lot of, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt, and I heard this from somebody else, and my mother-in-law's best friend told me last week there was, you know, X number of dollars in there. I've heard as much as $250,000 that was collected, and I'm calling BS on the whole thing.
Just out of curiosity.
I say get your evidence together, present us some hard evidence, put it on the agenda. I'm not going to read anything today. Not interested.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go with Nicole next, and then we'll have Mr. Gallagher follow up. Okay.
You're trying to be an embarrassment to the entire county staff by bringing this up, and I'm getting a little tired of it myself, so.
Okay, I have a question. Will you?
So get us some hard evidence.
Let me ask a question. Will you ask the building department to permit?
To do what?
To permit somebody to go in and pull out the building permits and photocopy the building permits.
I don't think it's worth the staff time, because the intention is, if we pass the grant program at the next meeting, this whole park fund thing is going out the toilet.
Under NRS, Bill, under NRS, can they do that?
I would make a public records request, I'm asking.
You can
inspect records, so I don't know why
you
can do that.
You know, and you get,
I think they're,
you pay for it out of your own pocket.
I'm not saying that the building department.
Well,
permits.
That's the rules. You pay them.
Okay, so the suggestion from the district attorney is to make a public records request.
Well, you don't. I mean, if you want to go over there and say, "Can I inspect?"
If you want to do it yourself,
yes, that's a question.
Okay,
you can go over there.
It should be permissible as public record.
As a public record, so it is permissible to
but
do that.
But they have to do it.
And if they are pulled, and if it does in fact show that since 1992, $84,500 has been collected, at that point, I have copies of all the invoices relating to improvements. It would be up to you. You agree? And if those are less than $84,500, would you agree, unless you can find other improvements on your own, that amount should be in the park fund?
I have to look at everything and see it.
Again, this is a simple forensic accounting exercise.
Mr. Chairman, we're getting close to debating tonight.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Can we move on a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, we went about 15 minutes. And
this is just public.
We're not going to hold for it.
Not going to resolve anything.
She's up next. Okay. Hold on, Dale. She's up next.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good place to sit.
For the record, Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. For the record, I handed Commissioner McBride the 2010 packet of information that Dave produced and had given Pat Whitten and Denny Dotson at that time. I believe you will find contained in that packet data from the county's own database from the assessor that has the 250 being collected as far back as 85. So that's some data, and I will help in looking at the other information that will be pulled from the building department. Bill, as to your comment that we are embarrassing the county, I'd like to disagree with you to the extent that we, as
Nicole, we stay on top on this.
I'm on a different. Dave took care of that. I'm on a different. Public comment.
Go right ahead.
Okay. In terms of us being an embarrassment to the county, Bill, by asking for accountability on money we have paid the county, I don't think we're the embarrassment. I think the embarrassment here is that the county either doesn't keep track, loses records, doesn't give any answers, failure to be accountable is what the embarrassment is. If the county is owed money, it puts resources to go get that money or get an accounting for the money that is owed to it. We as citizens have the same right to expect an accountability of money we pay into the county. So in terms of an embarrassment, Bill, it's an embarrassment that this county cannot answer simple accounting questions. VNT, Pat and commissioners, I attended the VNT Rail Commission meeting last Monday, asked them a point-blank question on if they were planning on paying us the money they owe us, received an answer that said, well, that will be dealt with in the April meeting. I mentioned the email that Pat, or the note that Pat had sent them as the prelude to a request. They do not consider that a formal request. I got a copy of their audit report, which I have since forwarded to you. They had, as part of their 2013 budget, a payment to Story County in $435,000, which was either never requested or never paid. So I would like to understand, well, first is a request to PAP that I gave as part of the email, that we put in a formal request to the Rail Commission for the money that they owe us. The second thing is, to the extent that they had in that budget a disbursement to the county, why didn't we request it? Pat, do you know?
I'll answer when you're done.
That's basically it.
Because your public comments done?
The only other thing is, I keep hearing rumors and reading rumors that Pat will be retiring sometime soon, and my question to the commissioners is, are you planning on posting that position to be recruiting for experienced people to fit back to replace him at that time?
I believe that's protocol, is it not?
Yes, sir.
That's the protocol. If Pat were to retire, that we would post this opening, is the job.
Yes, yeah. The advertising posted.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
And
okay.
It can't Thank be you. Me because an elected officer can't take over within a year or so.
Yeah.
Before Mr. Gallagher comes up and addresses.
Mr. Beach wanted to speak too, so.
Okay.
You want to wait till he's done?
Sure. By all means.
I'm happy to see you, Mr. Beach.
Happy to see you. We wondered where you were.
This is public comment, so I can talk about anything, right?
You can talk about anything you want.
Great.
Start the clock, please.
No, he don't run the clock. He run the last clock on anybody, okay?
Advance it by 2 minutes.
Back in October of 1991, I went over to the Public Works, over to Dean Haymore, and dropped a set of plans on him, and I said, I'd like to get a permit to build this house in Mark Twain. He says, well, can't do it, can't take them. Go to the clerk treasurer's office, lay $500 on them, get yourself a receipt for the park fund in Mark Twain. Bring it back to me and I'll photograph the receipt. Then you'll be able to go to the school, drop $500 on them, bring those two receipts back to me. I'll copy them. Then I'll accept your plans to build this home. That's $500 a piece. I don't know where they're getting off cheap out here at the Highlands, but I paid $500. And then I finally brought those back, had to chase the school down. They wasn't open all the time. I had to go back twice and got these receipts. Anyway, what I want to get to is this attorney that works so cheap. Could we get him to look at the end of this issue of the park fund and these other issues? The DA has got a, I guess he's an assistant. Am I bothering you guys?
What year did you get your certificate of occupancy?
1992, February the 18th.
And you paid $500?
I paid $500 in October. He wouldn't even take the plant. We built the house in November, December, January, and moved in February the 18th.
You're telling me that in Mark Twain you pay more
$500, yes,
for the park fund.
$500 for the park fund, $500 for the school fund, just bigger and damn. And I didn't enjoy it, didn't like it, and I'd like to get my money back.
Do you have a copy of those checks?
What?
Do you have a copy of that check you wrote?
$500.
I can dig it out, but it's out in the shed. I put file cabinets away. I've got things back to probably when I was 16. Dean Haymore should have got copies over there in his building, because My building plans, my plans for my house are in this office here, and they're over there in his, I believe.
I didn't know they charged different rates. And different.
Of course, we're high class down here. But the thing I come up here to talk about today mainly was about 12 years ago, there was parked cars on cinder blocks down this street here going down, and they couldn't do snow removal. So they passed an ordinance. Ordinance says no more than one non-licensed, non-registered vehicle per property.
Something like that.
Okay, something like that. So my question is, could we get him to dig up and find out if that just applied to Virginia City? Or does it apply to the county?
I think it applies to the whole county.
That's what my intentions was. Okay, and I asked, oh, well, Mark Twain just wants to be left alone. Those people down there like junk cars. Well, I don't like junk cars. And I complained about one guy, and she's got brought that up, and he's got a complaint against that guy. Okay. Wonder why his neighbors didn't apply. Well, everybody in Mark Twain knows me and knows I'm aggressive and got a big mouth and I see everything. So they call me. They call me.
I don't believe
And here I'm up here doing their dirty work and they ain't even paying me. So when can I expect something out of you guys to apply down, to apply to Mark Twain? I drive down there with everybody and show you where all these junk cars are and all these dozers, bulldozers and crap.
I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to the day that you and I can go down there with some other county officials and go up and start knocking on doors and telling people to get rid of their junk cars and then setting some of those vacant junk houses on fire and burn them to the ground so the fire department can get some training.
Well, the fire department is just good. That last one they had, the arson down there, it's just still sitting there in the smoke.
Yeah, I know.
The crap is all blown away, that'll blow away, but it's still sitting there. And here our district attorney sits up in his nice coat. He's not doing anything. Why ain't he down there?
Well, it takes at least a year or more to get anything done.
Okay, but please understand, this is an issue that my people and Mark Twain, I'm going to be the voice of Mark Twain Estates during this election. And the majority of people down here want a decent yard, and they have decent yards. We're talking about 10% of the people down there are pigs. And we want our county to come down and earn their money, and if the sheriff has to come down and sweep them up and put them in prison, I don't care.
Dale, if you'll contact Desi Redmond at her office, she's our nuisance officer.
Will you put her in my truck and let me show her around with her camera?
I don't know if she wants to ride around with you.
Yeah. Well,
but if you can put it in writing or a phone call, let her know what the specific address is.
Sam, I don't have addresses on. They don't have addresses down there.
Give her an idea of what the corner streets, what the cross streets are.
I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
But my time isn't up. I've still got 15 minutes left.
Thank you for your time.
I'm going to go home. These are wearing out. My back is dying.
All right.
I totally, wholeheartedly agree with you, Dale.
No, I want you in here because I have questions for you. I have questions for you.
Can I answer questions?
Well, if he wants to be at the podium, otherwise you need to address the commission and not other members of the audience.
Nope, I'm going to be here today as a resident of Mark Twain Estates.
Okay.
I remember when Dale Beach moved in. Excuse the expression, but I remember what a pain in the ass he's been for 22 years.
You see?
You.
Yes,
pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass?
Yes, you are. People move down to the Mark Twain Estates. We live on an acre so we can have what we would like to have. Dale Beach lives in a house that looks like a morgue. When he first moved in, my husband and I really thought he was from Los Angeles. You have the mentality of the people from LA, wanting all this stuff to be perfect. I know, I was shocked when I read that in the paper. Absolutely shocked. But I do want the board to know he does not speak for the Mark Twain Estates. There are most of us who totally disagree with him. Things that have to do with the park, which is ridiculous. As far as people with their cars, overabundance, yes. But most of us have vehicles down there, and we moved down there so we could have our things on our property. And he needs to check with the zoning as far as what our zoning is down there, because it deals with the zoning as to what you can and cannot do The zoning in Virginia City is different from the zoning in the Mark Twain Estates.
And then, after he built his house, Osama bin Laden liked the place so much, he borrowed the plans and built another one.
Absolutely.
In Pakistan, so.
And of course, it's kind of pissed you off, hasn't it? Those, all of us planted, we all planted trees, so now you can't spy on us from your residence.
You know,
now you have to drive around.
Don, it's inappropriate to address somebody in the audience.
This is not being like me. You wouldn't let me sit around now.
But I just
feel that it needs to be brought up that he does not speak for all the residents.
We want to hear from you.
I've talked to several of the other neighbors
who
agree that a lot of things that he's bringing up are not things that we would like to see down there.
Okay. Thank you. Pat?
Thank you.
Can I get to ask your question?
No.
No,
you've already spoke. Thank you.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay.
I want to address a couple things before Hugh comes up and addresses the status of the park fund. You know, first off, Nicole repeatedly used the phrase, and I think, Bill, you actually provided the phrase first in terms of trying to embarrass us. I have no embarrassment over the status of the park funds. Zero, nada, nil. We cannot recreate records that were lost by some official that doesn't even work for the county anymore.
Yeah.
We have no idea where they are. We cannot recreate them. I appreciate Mr. Thomas, who I think has left now.
He's over
there.
He's still here.
I appreciate his diligence on this, and we will continue to try to take different approaches to back into this forensically and accurately. But in the meantime, we can't recreate what we don't have,
nope.
Period. And I'm not embarrassed about that, and neither is our comptroller. Second, with regard to Dale's comment regarding nuisances, Chairman McBride, you hit it right on the nose. Mr. Beach brought up a complaint with our nuisance officer, Desi Redmond. Desi, I believe you reported during staff today, you are on it and working it. Mm-hmm. There is a process in place as to how you file nuisances. File the complaint. We can't act on property. We're not the Gestapo. We don't go in and tell people to clean up your yards because we think they're dirty. You take the process through our nuisance officer. Mm-hmm. She will investigate and take appropriate action, and she's doing a great job on properties in Virginia City, properties in Mark Twain, and I don't know where else. And then lastly, on the B&T, Nicole, your one question of me simply is we did not demand money in the last fiscal year because I did not, or this fiscal year yet either, because I did not consider any of our projects, rail-related projects, far enough along. The only thing we could have drawn on were our bond indebtedness payments that we certainly could have done, but we were saving those for Tunnel 6. We were saving those for some of the B&T depot and other depots that we still plan to make that draw, regardless of if the money is there or not in the rail commission standpoint.
Yeah.
So those are my public
comments.
Can you give me the accounts,
please? I'm sorry, I missed the.
Just
get it on the record.
Please, well, if we can
okay.
Get this thing over with.
Make it quick, okay?
No, it's just a clarification.
They only have $850,000 in their entire general fund. They owe us $950,000. If this were Nicole, I would take the money and run because they're going to spend it. So are you saying we can't take what's owed to us and put it into our V&T fund and have it accrue interest in our fund for us so
not
that they can't spend it?
Not in my opinion, the way the interlocal was drawn up. We have to have rail-eligible projects. Without further progress on Tunnel 6, we have none at this time. We intend to give them a draw for the Gold Hill Depot restoration work. Once we get a fee, and Mr. Gallagher is probably working every day with officials at Muckle Anderson and Nick Providenti in Carson City to finalize exactly what's owed, because those are in dispute as well. So,
okay, Mr. Gallagher.
It didn't work, though. You've already started the three.
Chairman, members of the commission, this is quite a little deal. I'm going to address the park fund first, and I appreciate Dave Thomas's his remarks, and obviously his work is impeccably done as he has done in his professional career. Dave and I have been talking since about May of 2011, and he's sent me his items on the park fund going back to a certain period of time, which was to include the 1980s. And he's probably correct. In the 1985, there was a resolution, number 85, or actually 1981, that collected $500 for a residential tax. It's absolutely right. However, it was a pass-through to future school building, construction, and enlargement.
That's
never went to the school district. So we did not collect it. We collected it and remitted it back to the school district. So that, in itself, that was the only tax at that point in time that I can find that we had on business licenses. That was $500 for the schools. 1992, there was ordinance number 133 in February 1992, a residential construction tax for $250. Now, although that was done, okay, I can find nothing that in records that I have, and I can't apologize for it because I never had it, from there till 1996, till there was actually a collection of taxes that were shown by the clerk treasurer through the business license stuff. In ordinance number 156, in July of 1998, took the mobile homes and made those a $250 deal, because I think the commission at that time thought that mobile homes would, the construction of those things would be eligible too. You know, NRS 278-497 is clear and concise. All I can do is say that even though, in my estimation, even though the ordinance was developed in 1992, I'm not sure the collection of the tax was done until 1996. I do think that probably I need to go back and take a look at some of this stuff to see where, in fact, if it is business licenses, and there are business licenses available, that I have at least, I should go through that and see if there is some evidence of some sort that says we have that. And if that's the case, then I'll make a report back to the commission at some point in time.
Mark, can we just correct things so we're crystal clear on this? This is not a business license issue. This is a building permit issue.
Building permit. No, so, sorry. Yeah, building permit issue. So, you know, I can remit my findings to the commission at a future date. I'll go back through this. I thought this pretty much was solved in 2010. In 2011, it has now come up again, so consequently we'll take a look at it again and see what we can find. With regards to the V&T Rail Commission, their statements from the Nevada Commission on the reconstruction of the V&T Railway. Basically, these statements were the same as the statements for the year ending 2012, and basically, for the most part, said that there was a note a payable due to Story County with the outstanding balance of $250,000 as of June 30th, 2013. It mentioned it again in comments and contingencies. The problem with a lot of the stuff that we have here, because of our interlocal agreement that we had set forth, was that the fact that we must, in that agreement, pretty much whatever their expenses are for operations, they are willing to use that. So I think that from my viewpoint is to find out what is an ordinary and necessary expense of the V&T Rail Commission to make sure that it's not on future construction, future sites, future whatever, that is only done with the operational ability. I will do that through Muckle Anderson, the CPA firm that was involved in that,
and hopefully we can get a little more clear and concise interpretation at a later date.
Great. Thanks for your explanation. You have one last thing? Okay.
Oh, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Public comment. In regards to the $25,000 claim by Liquid Blue that was just approved, that check was cut a week before the new contract even became valid. Liquid Blue was entitled to $2,500 a month, and now there's a claim for $25,000. That's pretty damning. In my request for public records, I'll add up how much, way beyond $2,500 a month and the profits. Mr. Gallagher had no legal basis to make that claim. There is no reference to Liquid Blue in budgets or audits.
Mr. Phillips?
Nothing under the contracts.
Would you mind taking it up with the Tourism Commission?
That's $25,000.
I know, but that's the Tourism Commission business.
You could have waited. You could have talked to your attorney about this.
It's not up to us. It's up to the Tourism Commission.
No, you all just approved the check. Now, this would all be different if the VCTC hadn't elected the Story County Treasurer as their treasurer. If they wanted to play this hanky-panky, they could hire their own treasurer, have their own bank accounts, and face taxation and audits on their own. This is a decision VCTC made to use the county treasurer. And its treasury.
I know, but it doesn't have anything to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with this board. It has to do with the Tourism Commission and that commission alone.
This claim goes back to last fall. How can Liquid Blue submit $25,000 claim for last fall?
I can't answer it.
Would you?
I can't.
You just approved it.
Thank you. Anybody else? That's it. Thank you.